Well, Malachi 4, to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings or in the hems of his garment. The idea is that to you who fear my name, this is what the coming of Jesus will be like. Whatever primary application this could have had to events around the exile, the ultimate fulfillment is clearly referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus to the earth. And Malachi 4, like chapter 3, is very clear that the wicked are going to be destroyed. But the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings or in the hems of his garments for those who fear my name at that day. So the little point I want to make is that when Jesus comes back, it is with healing, with change and healing for those who fear God's name, for the righteous. So there is going to be some healing, some radical changing of the righteous when Jesus comes back. We shall be changed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And I think the idea is, therefore, that we don't die perfect. We are going to need some moral change when Jesus comes back. Now, of course, you've got to balance this carefully. It is not so that we shall be totally transformed into somebody other than we are now, because salvation is personal. It means that you and I, as the sum of all our experiences in this world, in this life, we shall be changed, but we shall be saved, and there shall be a continuity between who we are in this life and who we shall eternally be. And that, of course, is the critical importance of character development, spiritual mindedness, etc. Because, as Paul again says, the spirit will be saved. Who we essentially are is who we shall eternally be. And yet, you have to balance that against the fact that we are not perfect and we shall die imperfect. You look at some of the great characters of the Bible. They died on their deathbeds imperfect. You think of how Jacob's last words were about Shechem. He says, I'm giving you Shechem, son, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my bow and with my sword. Come to the Psalms, we're told specifically they did not gain the land in possession by their sword or by their bow, but by God's grace. Well, he died at the end, still not quite getting that right, and still playing silly games with Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh, still trying to mess around with issues about the birthright and who gets the birthright and all that, and who gets the primary blessing, when he really should have learnt from his own experience with Esau, his brother, that that is not the way of God. All that is so unnecessary. Or you think of Samson, whose last recorded words just before he died were, give me strength to bring the house down, kill all these guys, in vengeance for my two eyes. Well, that was hardly a spiritually mature or complete attitude to have, wanting vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And yet, he will be saved. Hebrews 11 is clear about this. I think of David. I think his last words really to Solomon about getting right with Shimei, bringing down that old man's white hairs with blood to the grave, when earlier he'd forgiven him and scribbled it all. You know, that there was an element there of immaturity, of dying with a strand of bitterness and desire for revenge and unforgiveness. And yet, all these men will be saved. And quite obviously, none of us die perfect. That is how it is. Now, that is a comfort to us in our disappointment with ourselves for the slowness of our growth, the fact that we still do not completely bring every department of our lives and thinking under the control of God. And it's also a help, I think, in coping with others when you see their immaturity and yet their professed faith in the work of Jesus, and yet they are clearly immature in some ways and clearly fail, like we all do. And this opens a window, I think, onto those who die, for example, of alcoholism or suicide or things like that, that some people would condemn. And yet, no, we all die immature, we all die imperfect. And as you see here from Malachi 4, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings or the hems of his garments, although that is also possible, of course, in this life. We think of the woman taking hold of the Lord Jesus by the hem of his garment. I think that incident is clearly intended to refer back to this passage in Malachi. Anyway, verse 2, you will go out and leap forth like calves of the stall. I find that a very comforting picture, because the implication is that in this life we are cooped up. We are absolutely limited, like calves who want to frisk around and run around, but they can't. They are hemmed in their little stall, in their little cage, and they're fed, and they get fat, and then they're let out to die. But we shall leap forth like calves of the stall. The limitations will be taken away. And I love that picture, because any truly spiritually minded person is surely frustrated with the whole situation that we're in. Our inability, as we see it, to serve God as we would like to. We are hemmed in by society, by lack of resources, as it seems, and especially hemmed in by our own weakness, by the way that we cannot shift, it seems, as we would like to. We cannot quite achieve spiritually, personally, in terms of the work we'd like to do for the Lord. We can't. And these limitations are intentional to make us look forward to that day when we shall burst out. I think that's the idea, that the calves would burst out of the stall when it's opened and frisk around. And for us, we shall frisk around forever. You think of a similar passage in Isaiah 58. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth. It's the idea, again, of the stalled calves springing forth, springing out. So then, the idea very much is that we long for that day, and all your experiences of frustration, of limitation, as I say, both in your life situation and also with our own personality and our own weaknesses, all this shall end then. And we shall not die perfect, and yet the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing, and we shall be changed. Not totally transformed into somebody other than we are now, we personally shall be changed, but we shall be healed. This is the wonderful hope that is before us.